Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, recycling trade publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to GoldRadio.fm, podcasting in 0.9999 fine. I'm Jim Goddard.
My guest is Jim Willey, editor of the Hat Trick Letter online at golden-jackass.com. Welcome back to GoldRadio.fm.
Well, good to be back, Jim. I think we're in the climax phase.
What's new at the Hat Trick Letter, and how can people subscribe to it?
Well, I'm posting tomorrow the Hat Trick Letter for June. It seems like every month I run out of days because, for instance, 10 days ago I thought, well, I can wait a couple more days. There's so much happening. But, you know, running out of time now, I need to post a report. There's a lot of activity pretty much every day, a lot of events pretty much every day, market action every day, political action every day, news on the virus and the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on humanity in 1,000 years every day. So I got the newsletter for June posted tomorrow, and I'm getting a string of consult orders, Jim. It's really quite interesting, but to me it indicates a lot of people are very worried about what's going on, and they want some help with some decisions. This is a very difficult time.
Inflation, interest rates, and economic destruction. What do you see ahead?
I see a hyperinflationary recession. I see prices getting worse. The interest rate hike that we just saw like a week or two ago was exactly the wrong thing to do. We do not have inflation as a result of too much money floating around, sloshing around. This is from supply side restrictions. So by restricting even more, we're going to get even worse supply side restrictions. I think we're going to have a massive inflationary problem, and we're going to have a massive recession. This is going to be pretty much complete destruction and force a new system to be installed.
With rising interest rates, how much damage could be done to the real estate market?
I don't think this is going to be a particularly a factor regarding interest rates. It's going to be a factor regarding, like, Fannie Mae funding, the backstop funding to banks. We could get into a situation where there will be very little mortgage funds by banks for buying a home. And if that happens, it's going to be cash only and private deals. So the housing market could go down 40 to 60%. We're facing a massive problem, for the banks. We'll get more into the banks and their issues later in the interview, but the real estate market is dependent upon low rates, to be sure, but it's dependent upon funding for mortgage in the first place. So there's a bigger concern than just interest rates, in my opinion. And you're seeing that in smaller countries. There are no mortgages available at all. They destroyed the housing market, for instance, in Costa Rica. Prices for houses are down 70%, cash only.
Could a wipeout of cryptos be a precursor to the introduction of central bank digital currencies?
Yes, very much, but it's not going to unfold quite the way that a lot of pessimists expect. I'll try to explain it. It's not simple. We've got an introduction of central bank digital currencies, and You're going to be hearing the acronym CBDC. You're going to hear that a lot soon. The CBDCs, the Central Bank Digital Currency. It's basically the digital currency offered and supported and managed by central banks. There's going to be a battle. I think it's going to become a war. It'll be the Eastern versus the Western CBDCs. Now, in the West, they're trying to cripple cryptos, drive them way down so that the Western citizens would be more receptive to the United States and the Basel, Switzerland version of the central bank digital currency, the CBDC. I don't like saying the full four words, so I'm going to stick with CBDC. I've mentioned it twice, and I'll do it a third time. The central bank digital currencies are central bank versions of an adopted, sanctioned, approved, supported currency. There's going to be a war. It'll start out as a controversy and a battle and competition, and it'll later become a war. The Asian CBDCs will be legitimate, gold-backed, transparent, and decentralized. The Western CBDCs will be the opposite. They'll be fraudulent. There will not be a gold backing. They will not have decentralization. They'll say it's all centralized for control. They will not be transparent because they don't want you to know about their money laundering and their trafficking and all kinds of different things that the big banks are involved in. Okay, so, yeah, they're trying to push down the crypto prices. The Western bankers are doing that. So you'll be more receptive to their fraudulent CBDC. But the big rub, the big pain will come when the West attempts to have the CBDC that they adopt and launch. They will want that to be universally used across the globe, and it will not. And therefore, the United States and Canada will be very vulnerable to import obstruction. That's all I'm going to say on it. I've got a lot to say in my hat trick letter. It's a complex issue.
What do you see ahead for the U.S. dollar?
Its sunset, its demise, its replacement by these CBDCs. And as such, there's going to be a competition, then a battle, then a war. The East in Asia is going to have Russia, China, Iran, and probably a couple more. There could be one from the United Arab Emirates, for instance. In the West, it's going to be the United States and Basel, Switzerland. I really have a hard time believing that London will not launch their own fraudulent CBDC. So there's going to be a competition, and the whole competition is going to be triggered by the failure of the U.S. Treasury bond, the default of the U.S. government debt, the troubles and crises in the U.S. banks, and the resulting global demand for a replacement of the dollar in order to get moving, to avoid a global economic collapse. The dollar must be replaced.
Debt bubbles, are there ways to stop them from imploding the economy?
I don't think debt bubbles are the big issue right now. We have certainly a lot of money going into the banks from COVID relief, which was a false name. It should have been called derivative big bank relief, derivative big bank patchwork, but they launched a ruse, a fake virus, and with the fake virus they had fake stimulus relief packages. They call it COVID relief, and then 18 months later we learned that it was $9 trillion that was directed to the big banks, and that money vanished. It did not become a debt bubble. The money vanished in derivative patchwork coverage. I have on good authority that Bank of America entered bankruptcy in March, and I believe they're suffering from derivative implosion. The Fed balance sheet has risen $4 trillion in the last 2 years, and it is largely to fund the patchwork of the bank derivatives that are imploding. We do not have a debt bubble problem. We have a supply chain restriction problem. We're so accustomed and conditioned to think that price inflation comes from debt bubbles. Well, yeah, but not this time. It came from restrictions in the supply chain. We have shortages of supply. I mean, do they really in Germany have a natural gas debt bubble that caused their gas prices to go up? In the United States, do we really have a gasoline price increase as a result of debt bubbles? No, what we have is the implosion. I don't want to use that word. We have the drubbing. We have the international rejection of the dollar. And I'm going to work that into the conversation. We don't have a debt bubble. We have a supply chain restriction problem. And it's severe, acute, and deadly.
There are new Q posts. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing that a week ago we began the restoration of the Republic. And this is very hard for a lot of normies to swallow. It's somewhat difficult for even really bright, aware people to accept because it's been such a long wait. I believe that we've got something like a 10 or 15 step procedure, and we've begun that procedure. We completed a couple of steps. It's not really clear what those steps are. I have a rough idea, but the Q posts are basically saying that the Biden show is about to be canceled, and we're going to be moving forward without this charlatan television production with an empty Capitol and empty cabinets and empty Department of Treasury and empty IRS. We don't have an empty Pentagon, but for most of the cabinet offices, the buildings are empty.
Is the elephant in the room everywhere election fraud?
Yeah, the 2000 Mules video was really quite amazing. The details are significant, just mind-boggling. Almost every single state was involved. The election fraud could not have happened without the bullshit COVID pandemic that's really nothing. There's no pandemic. The pandemic right now is the vaccine. That's killing a lot of people. And we have to do away with the mail-in ballots. I've actually used a couple of mail-in ballots in my many years. When I was, like, in college, I was registered in Pennsylvania, but I was in college in Ohio. I mailed in a ballot. But I believe these mail-in ballots, over 90% of them are fraudulent. There's an electronic watermark on the real legitimate ones. This is going to come out. But the election was fraudulent, and I'm becoming more convinced, Jim, that Trump won all 50 states for the first time in U.S. history.
Following the Roe versus Wade U.S. Supreme Court decision, are we likely to see devolution, and what is devolution?
The Roe versus Wade case, the decision, it has many sides. I'll get to the devolution when I'm done with making my few points. This is far more than an abortion decision. This is, in my opinion, and this is shared by a number of people. My opinion is that they picked a decision in order to empower the states to take the initiative on a number of different issues and to exert their own state rights. For instance, in addition to abortion, it could be, say, gun control, gun rights, gun ownership rights. It could be gay, lesbian, transgender rights. You know, a lot of different things associated with that. I don't need to get into it all. It could be rights regarding vaccine mandates. There are many, many different causes and issues that state legislatures and courts should probably rule on. But the Supreme Court decision, in my opinion, was to bolster and empower the states. And I have one particular client. He's a great guy. He put it in pretty interesting words. He said, "Jim, Roe versus Wade is a decision in order to force the states to line up. This is the cause. This is the issue. Line up on the blue side or the red side. It's a litmus test." Now, as for devolution, I believe the devolution already kicked in. I said a week ago the Restoring the Republic began, multi-step process. It's very difficult and vague for comprehending what those steps are. It has to do with a lot of different legal aspects, judicial aspects, governmental policies and structures, some reforms. But the continuity of government is something that must be preserved, and that is what devolution's all about. It's kind of like an insurance policy or a sequence protocol in the case of a hurricane. All right, the first thing we do is we get the keys to the shelter. Then we go and you know, follow different steps, go through the kitchen cabinet doorway into the basement. Okay, follow the steps. Follow the steps. Okay, that's what devolution's all about. It's a structural procedure, and it's also, you know, stepwise and has to be followed carefully. But it's an insurance policy in case of foreign interference, foreign attack, foreign invasion, etc., or a nuclear attack. I don't think we're going to get to that. Okay, Roe versus Wade is going to be a far more important issue than most people expect, and it'll go far beyond abortion, far beyond. I think it's going to touch on those areas that I mentioned, gun control, gay rights, vaccine mandate, and more.
We'll have more with Jim Willey right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willey. Jim, with the Russia-Ukraine conflict, do you see any resolution there? And what about the Minsk Accord?
I don't see a resolution in the form of a surrender. I see a resolution in the form of a complete destruction of the Ukraine nation and a crippling of its economy and an eradication down to under 100 people in their military, including all the mercenaries that are stupid enough to enter for the noble cause that they were deceived on and never knew about the atrocities in the Donbass, the Eastern Republics, where they speak Russian and they were murdered. There's something very important that happened a few years ago. It was called the Minsk II Agreement. And it outlined a lot of different aspects for resolving the situation in Ukraine. And honestly, I don't know a lot about its actual clauses. What I do know about is that the United States, NATO, and Western Europe violated every single element of the accord. As a result, Russia has let it be known that they will not make any accord with Ukraine or NATO, that they will kill every last one of the Ukraine military, every last one of the Azov fascist Nazi militia, and every one of the mercenaries coming from the NATO nations. They don't want to kill every mercenary and Ukraine military soldier. They're giving them a chance to surrender, but the Ukraine military officers are preventing that. I heard about 3 weeks ago that the Russian bombardment was killing roughly 1,000 soldiers per day. Even if it's 500 per day, that means you've got a finite period of time before the Ukraine military is left with under 100 people. The cowards are taking refuge in apartment buildings mixed in with the Azovs, where human shields are taken. There's something very fascinating that's happening, Jim, in the U.S. and Western news, the mainstream news, MSM news. They're trying to avoid the Ukraine topic, because it's becoming quite apparent that for the last 6 months they've been lying through their teeth and hardly a single positive event has occurred in favor of Ukraine in that entire conflict. This is a Russian air superiority, ground superiority, communication superiority, and a bombardment that is constant. The Ukraine military is complaining that it is raining artillery. What you have is the Russians using drone aircraft to identify location of positions, and they're getting the GPS positioning, and then they bombard the shit out of the Ukraine military, which has had cutoffs of their supply lines for ammunition and for food. The aid of $40 billion that was given by the Biden show, very small amount went to the military and to the country for its citizens. It largely went to the elite at Davos, the World Economic Forum, the managers for that economic forum, and to NATO generals. What I'm trying to say is they stole over 90% of it. And they needed that funding because the White Alliance had been cutting off the income source to the banksters and the cabal who are running the child trafficking, narcotics trafficking, arms trafficking, and had been using Ukraine as the center for money laundering. So they got their income wrecked and their assets seized. So they appealed to the Biden show for a $40 billion relief package, which is ridiculously out of size, because four times greater than that is the entire Ukraine economy. So, you know, if you're doing an aid package, usually you talk about 2 to 5, maybe 10% of the economy. This was 25. This was way out of line, and it was to replenish the Davos banksters. And notice that the Ukraine military continues to complain that they're without food and without ammunition and armaments. In other words, the money never got to them. We're going to see a surrender. And I don't know how the Russians are going to react. They might say, you can surrender, but we're going to cut your head off. They might say, you Ukrainians can surrender, but you face a firing squad. And that may seem brutal, except for 14,000 Donbass citizens who spoke Russians, who were all slaughtered unarmed. Therefore, and because of the Minsk agreement violations, the Russians will not have a surrender agreement. They want the annihilation of the Ukraine military and the execution and kill of every single Azov Nazi soldier. They're taking surrender, they're taking prisoners from the Ukraine military only if they can produce 100 children who are trapped in the tunnels. This is very complex, and it's just amazing that the CNN and the other rag MSM news networks, rather than admitting the truth, are trying to avoid this story entirely. Very fascinating.
Klaus Schwab, head of the World Economic Forum, boasts about controlling a significant number of politicians in Canada. Is this the same around the world?
Yes, it is. I believe he controlled Biden in the United States. He controlled Boris Johnson in England. He controls Emmanuel Macron in France, I believe, but it's not quite as certain that he controls Olaf Scholz, the replacement to Merkel in Germany. I believe it's not so much a word of control, but a mutual respect among high-level criminals with Draghi, the president of Italy. And I could go on. He controls Trudeau in Canada. And not just Trudeau, but numerous officials. And where you have the president or the prime minister controlled, the Schwab World Economic Forum, I call it Davos, it's easier to call it, easier to name and refer to it. I believe where the president or prime minister is controlled, you also have a dozen top officials who are controlled. Okay. This is going to end. And it was going to end a little bit sooner, except the Biden show replenished their funding by $40 billion. And I believe at least $30 billion of that went to the Davos officials.
Are the wheels coming off Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, where you own nothing but are happy?
I think so, but there's still going to be a significant amount of poverty to go around. Instead of being poor and happy and slave, people are going to be less wealthy, more free, and not very happy still, because we've got to rebuild the financial structure. If we had never gotten off the gold standard in 71, we would be living in a wonderful world. If we had honest, say, credit grants, like for, you know, home mortgages and business expansion, et cetera, if we had honest credit dispensation, along with an honest currency and put to rest the war machines, then we'd have a wonderful world. Okay, that seems like Pollyanna, pie in the sky nonsense. Well, it is to some degree, because human nature is very corrupt and leadership prefers to destroy rather than to build. We've had close to a century of destruction. World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, Korean War, 9/11, Yugoslavia War. We just go from war to war to war because the people in charge have tight connections with the military complex. And, you know, they actually want this Ukrainian war to expand while the people want it to stop. I didn't mention something in Ukraine. It's a last stage signal. They're hauling out older men. They're hauling out certain women to serve in the Ukraine military. And as I call it, to be cannon fodder. They need people in the trenches, and they're not fighting Russian soldiers at the front. They're defending themselves from a nonstop artillery barrage. Okay, the wheels are coming off Agenda 2030. I didn't define it. That is a United Nations plan for imposing the New World Order on the medical front. I believe that has been cut off. You'd have a hard time convincing the Davos people of that, but I believe the United Nations Agenda 2030, for which Obama was their primary agent for installation, I think that is pretty much defunct. There have been some comments from the United Nations that are really quite interesting, to the effect that the vaccine is not effective. And the Center of Disease Control in Atlanta, same message. The vaccine is not effective, and people who are unvaccinated may fare better in warding off a vaccine infection and sickness. So I believe what we're seeing is the United Nations and WHO and CDC are backtracking because they have a suspicion that they're going to be arrested for crimes against humanity and executed. So they're backtracking.
Is the die-off accelerating as boosters 3 and 4 start to kick in?
It seems that way. There are two new types of problems, health problems, that seem to have cropped up in the last couple of months. One is turbo cancer, a new term, and the rough definition is that you get 7 years of metastasis in 7 weeks. So accelerated destruction of your organ systems through metastasis and cancer. The other problem that it's actually created a new name. It's called sudden adult death syndrome, SADS. People are just dying suddenly, and it's not older people. It's all people. Adolescents, young adults, older adults, and seniors. They're just dying. They're walking to work, walking to the store, and they just die. It's from massive blood clots and structures in their hearts and in their arteries. The embalming profession has now let it be known. The 1 meter long stringy structure like rubber bands caught in arteries. So people are having heart attacks. They're just dying. And this is, I think, happening with boosters 3 and 4. It is now being said that these structures that are growing in the arteries and vein systems are not a blood problem. They're not emanating from a blood issue like clotting. These are programmed structures with billions of protein molecules forming like rubber bands.
Is carbon zero code for human extinction?
I think yes, and for extinction of plant and animal life. Let's just say extinction of life on Earth. Carbon zero is corrupt, nonsensical, and from bad science. Let me just make a couple of interesting comments. Rather than expound on that, I want to explain something about carbon dioxide and oxygen, etc. A human body takes in oxygen and produces carbon dioxide and water vapor. That's why your breath, you can, you know, put some condensation on your eyeglasses or on a window. Okay. Water vapor and carbon dioxide. That's what you exhale, among other things, but principally. And the hemoglobin is a big molecule with iron. I'm giving myself away. With iron at the center of the giant hemoglobin molecule. Okay. In the plant world, they require carbon dioxide. So if they don't find sufficient carbon dioxide, they will suffocate. If you watch a lot of science fiction movies, you'll see that there's no tree life. For instance, in Blade Runner, Los Angeles, there are no trees. The woman said, wow, I've never seen a tree. Okay, this is 2050. That's just, you know, a date, a mark on the wall. Okay, the plant world relies not on hemoglobin, but on chlorophyll. And chlorophyll has carbon dioxide in and oxygen out. That's why if you walk in a forest, you might feel a little tired after the long walk, not so much from burning up energy, but from taking in a little bit higher concentration of oxygen. Now, chlorophyll is like a cousin, almost a mirror match of hemoglobin, almost, and at its center is manganese. So manganese for chlorophyll, iron for hemoglobin, and they do reverse processes. The planet will die if we don't have a sufficient amount of carbon dioxide. To try to remove it is to kill the planet, and sooner or later, they're going to be outed for that.
Is it normal for numerous food plants to catch fire?
No, but I'll just put out on the table some of my theories. I believe that some of the higher quality ones, like, say, an egg factory in Minnesota, that's an honest business. They're producing eggs. They have thousands of chickens. I believe those are being burned down from laser from the sky in the middle of the night. I'm surprised we haven't had any intrepid smartphone users produce a video. They did for San Ramon, Greater San Francisco, 5 years ago. I don't know why they don't now. On the other hand, if it is to destroy an honest and good working food plant, then it's clearly to reduce the food supply. But let me give a little statistic. There are like 8 or 10,000 food processing plants in the United States. It sounds like a catastrophe that 100 burned down, but there are thousands of them. There might be several hundred that are large. This is not the majority being burned down. It's like saying, well, you know, we got 3 different apartment buildings burned to the ground in Chicago. Well, they've got 80. Here's the ugly side. And it's very hard to get solid information on this. To me, it's more like my personal speculation. And I've had this reinforced by some other people and their speculation. So we're really not relying on solid information as much as we are doing mutual speculation. Some of these food plants are integrating child trafficking ground human meat and putting it into, say, ground beef for hamburgers. It could be that some of the food processing plants, I couldn't say whether it's the majority or the minority, don't really know. Some of them might have been destroyed because they were involved in processing ground-up child trafficking human meat.
Gun control is being pushed in Canada and the U.S., and gun sales are rising. Your thoughts?
History has shown that the nations that want to severely restrict gun ownership are usually extremely fascist, and are involved with some form of genocide and do not want their population to defend itself. The nations with the highest proportion of gun ownership, like Switzerland, have very little violence, very little home break-in, and are relatively safe countries. So gun control is usually, in my opinion, rather, you know, hard and fast knee-jerk. It's a fascist regime trying to disarm the people. In Australia, they They convinced the people to turn in their weapons, and now they're being subjected to genocide through vaccine without the ability to defend themselves adequately.
Any thoughts on the upcoming midterms and voter fraud?
First of all, I'm not sure we're going to get to November without some very severe problems like bank failures, food riots, extreme food shortages, and civil disorder. I'm not sure we're going to get to November. That's when the midterms are in the United States. It's midterm election where a portion of the Congress is made up of House of Representatives with two-year terms. So every 2 years, they get, you know, their elections conducted. I have heard that between 30 and 35 states have had election reform and had it approved within their legislatures in the United States. And these are not just the battleground blue states that committed the worst election fraud. These are a lot of different states, 35 of them. And it's a growing number. Every couple months is another state that approves of election fraud. And what they're doing is they're making very tight rules on the mail-in ballots. There will always be mail-in ballots. You know, I did a mail-in ballot when I was in college. Okay. But they wanted the mail-in ballots so that millions of them could be mass-produced and shipped in for falsifying Biden votes. There's some cases where an individual voted 20 times in certain battleground states, 20 different mail-in ballots with the same name. So, you know, this is massive fraud being addressed at the state level by up to 35 different states. So I think we're very likely to see a minimum of voter fraud, but I haven't heard much about removing election officials who did nothing about the overnight flipping in the thousands, like Biden up 12,000 suddenly, and at the same minute, Trump down 12,000, the exact same number. I mean, it's just cut and dried, foolproof, ironclad fraud evidence that was not acted upon. So we need to remove election officials at the state level, and we need to tighten the mail-in ballot rules. I believe a lot of progress has happened with that, but I'm not really sure. It should be like a national situation, a national ruling. There has to be tight supervision late at night for this vote flipping, and it's a lot worse than just a blatant 12,000 up, 12,000 down. It's a matter of counting one vote for a particular candidate as 8/10 of a vote, and the other candidate, every vote is 1.2 votes. So they're doing, you know, it's called weighting, like putting a weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, weighting the votes, not a weight like waiting in a reception room, putting weights of plus or minus a little below and a little above one. This is just ridiculous, very transparent fraud. So we need to get at the election officials at the state level, have them replaced, have them watched with military guard. We're going to have trouble getting to the midterms without extreme problems politically, financially, and economically, and socially. And if we do get there, I think we're going to see a gigantic Republican sweep in the elections, because people now have seen 2 years of this ridiculous television set with Biden in charge, and I'm pretty sure Biden is dead. I was told by several sources that Biden had a crippling and perhaps fatal stroke in March of 2021 after the fake inauguration. But I have read recently that Biden died before the election. Okay, we're living in a really crazy world where stand-ins, doubles, if not clones, are being used. I've got a doubles collection, so if you sign up for the Hattrick Letter and look at some recent issues, you can see the former Secretary of State Michael Pompeo and his replacement. It's not a very good replacement. You can see the replacement to Fauci, the national health director, for lack of a better term. Fauci's been replaced. Trudeau has been replaced in Canada. Actor Tom Cruise has been replaced. And they made a rather stupid move in Hollywood. They had the replacement of Tom Cruise give an introduction for the movie so that when Tom Cruise in the movie is shown, a very sharp contrast is made aware to the people. That's not the same guy. They should have kept it quiet, but they wanted to be in your face. I don't know for what reason. My other item in the collection is Governor Whitmer. I just obtained that, a before and after. It's not the same woman. Also in my collection is Governor Newsom of California. It's a pretty decent double, but the guy looks 10 years younger, a little bit trimmer, and has a very different mouth. They do surgery. They do reconstructive surgery to do the best job they can because the name is bigger than the man.
Jim, where can people find out more and how to subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter?
Well, it's www.golden-jackass.com. It's got a button right in the center. It's yellow. It's subscribe. I've got only the one newsletter. There's just one main product for subscription services, and that's the newsletter. It's attractively priced. I've had a couple of clients say, Jim, you need to raise your price. And I say, no, people are in pain. There's not a lot of extra savings running around. So I keep my price the same as I made it in 2009. So 13 years, the same price. Okay, the Hat Trick Letter, it's now been around for 18 years. It's going strong. This month will be issue number 219. It's just amazing to me. I've gone this far. It's the most challenging and difficult job I've had, but it's also one of the more enjoyable and satisfying. Not easy, and I wish there were more statistical analysis, but I'd rather do something really important that saves lives and retains lifelong savings. I had my day with the statistical analysis, marketing research. I had my day. I did that for 23 years. It's not exactly long enough, but I made my mark. I satisfied my own needs. But this newsletter, it's like macro high level economics, banking, currencies. I get involved a little bit with the vaccine. I want to save lives. I've had some clients write to me and said, Jim, you've saved thousands of lives, and I hope you see your reward. Well, so do I. Instead, I'm largely being attacked, and I suffered last week another demonic attack that knocked me on my ass. I have to, you know, just deal with it for a day and then get up. Let me just say something about these attacks to me, Jim. I'll be brief. If there are five attacks just for napkin math, and each one is a bizarre event, and each one is like a 1 in 200 probability, then having five in a row for me in the course of 5.5 years or 5+ years, that's five pairs of zeros, that's 10. Multiply 5 by the 2 and you get another 10. So it's 1 in 100 billion that I would be subjected to such bizarre events in a sequence. You can say that conservatively, I've been subjected to ugly, dark forces attacks with a likelihood of no more than 1 in 100 billion. Okay? Very rare. Anyway, so I got the newsletter. The button's right in the center. I've got consults. And, you know, a lot of people, I've had an increase in the number of consulting orders in the last 3 or 4 months compared to several months ago. The questions seem to be rather common. I mean, they have something in common. And I enjoy them immensely. I get a little behind sometimes. Like right now, I've devoted several days in a row to writing a newsletter. I've only done, I think, one consult. I got a few to do. So when I post a newsletter, I will get to it. I don't need to explain too much. Anyway, got the newsletter, got the consult button, and I've got a sponsor button, which gives me a thrill every time it is used because it's for $1,000 or more. And there are quite a few people who have helped me with that, and it's amazing. It changes my mood for 48 hours. And I invite people, if you're wealthy, I know you're less wealthy than you used to be because of the situation, but I deeply appreciate the sponsors and the consults. And, you know, the donations have been rather significant, too. I never like to discourage that, but thanks to everybody who's donated, and there have been more than 1,000 people, Jim, in the last, it's close to 3 years now, close to 1,000 people have donated something. Because I used to keep a list and then do an ordering, and then remove the duplicates, and it was 1,100 several months ago. Anyway, thanks for having me on, Jim. It's always fun. It's always interesting. These are very dangerous times, and I invite people to sign up for the newsletter in order to get advice on how to stay safe, stay alive, and retain your savings.
Jim, thank you so much for being on GoldRadio.fm.
Well, thanks for having me. Keep safe, everybody.
My guest has been Jim Willey, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. I'm Jim Goddard.
Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. GoldRadio.fm is a production of How Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.